Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher. I'm also known as the Food Healer. And today we've got a really, really amazing episode. I'm really excited about this. I've got Yere Lopez Portillo here, and we're going to be talking about a breed of dog called a galgo. They're out in Spain. I want to just get this started. I don't even want to intro it because there's a lot to talk about, and this topic is fascinating. So that being said, Yere, hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you so much for coming to the studio. I'm so excited when someone shows up here and it's not over the phone. I'm like jumping up and down right now. So I just want to jump into this because the story is unbelievable to me. And just a few moments we're talking before this interview, I just like, let's just do this. So let's start off with, what is a galgo?
Sure. Well, a galgo is the Spanish sighthound, right? It's very similar to the greyhound. It's a hunting dog. And it is used in Spain for hunting the hare out there in the open fields.
And so are they a Spanish breed?
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, it got mixed in Spain, but the sighthounds are a very old breed. Mm-hmm. They were found already in cave paintings. And
oh, wow.
They were also found in the old pyramids on engravings. So it's a pretty old breed, actually.
Oh, wow. I wasn't expecting you to say that. That's amazing. What do they look like for people that just don't know?
They're a bit smaller than the greyhound.
Okay.
They are thin. They have a big chest, long legs. I mean, when you look at them, they're made for running. They're pretty fast. They can, yeah. It's a pretty amazing animal. It's beautiful also and has like a great character. They say it is a mix between a dog and a cat. It is not only powerful when they run, but it is very mild at home. They can sleep up to 16 hours.
Of course,
they need exercise, but
yeah.
But yeah, most hunting dogs keep the energy for when they are out.
So they're bred for hunting. What do they hunt?
They hunt the hare.
Okay. And is this something that is done for sport in Spain, or is this for food?
No, it is not for food, actually. It was a long time ago when they used the galgos for food. Mm-hmm. Now it is a kind of a sport, right? Some of them call them, some of them say it is a tradition that should be respected. But it is basically a sport.
Okay.
So it is not for survival or anything.
And so what is the issue that's going on with these dogs now?
Well, in this sport, the breeders are looking for the fastest galgo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get it, they breed and breed and breed.
Mm-hmm.
Now they say we have above 500,000 galgos in Spain,
wow.
Right? And that's the official number. Probably we have more. So the selection to get the fastest one is pretty tough.
Mm.
If you think about the life of a galgo,
mm-hmm.
Let's say, okay, you are a galgo and you are born. The breeder is going to be looking for the female because the female runs faster and it matures earlier in life, right?
Okay.
So if you're a male, you can be killed with 1 week of age, right?
Wow.
Then you grow up and about 9 months later, you're going to be tested again, right?
Mm.
They're looking for a fast dog, but also a dog with this kind of attitude,
mm-hmm.
with this kind of eagerness to go after the hare. It
right.
doesn't matter if you hurt. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, under any pain. They look for a champion, and in order to get a champion, they breed and breed and breed. And that comes with a drama, because a lot of dogs are discarded along the way.
Mm.
They say between 50,000 and 100,000 galgos are killed or abandoned every year after the hunting season. So
oh my
we
God.
Are talking a lot of... Yeah, it's horrible. We're talking about a lot of dogs here.
In a small area, too. I mean, Spain's not a giant country.
Spain is not a giant country, but it is a hunting country.
Mm.
86% of our land is devoted to hunting,
That's
right?
That's unbelievable.
That's crazy. And they say that we have 2.4 million hunting dogs. Not all of them are galgos.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it's a situation there, and it is something that we need to control more. Right?
Seriously.
Transparency in relation with hunting is not that good, I think.
These numbers are just staggering to me. I mean, 2.5 million hunting dogs in a space as big as Spain. Those are numbers that I would expect to hear in the United States.
No, you know, many, many more. I think you have 30,000 greyhounds in all the United States. We have 500,000.
God, that's crazy. I mean, it's just, you would think that this is the only dog that's in Spain, you know, with those numbers, but obviously not, because there's other breeds that are doing the hunting as well.
Exactly.
So what is the story in Spain of people, pet owners? Is this something that people do? Is it, I mean, the U.S., we're so extreme with our pets here, and they really become family members. So like a hunting dog, like a galgo, for example, what is their life once they're in a hunting family? Like, are they treated like the way we treat our pets, where they're sleeping in our beds with us and we're putting outfits on them? Or are they outside and being starved? Where are they in that?
Well, it is interesting, because if you're in a hunting village, for instance, you can see families who have dogs, normal dogs, mm-hmm. let's say, and then they have also galgos. The galgos will always be in the garage, will always be outside, because they are considered tools, right?
Mm.
They can make great pets. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
The galgo is a very popular hunting dog, and it's becoming more popular now as a pet. They have been adopted more and more.
Good.
Because people realize that they have a great character, they're pretty funny, I mean, and they can be perfectly well mm-hmm. in a flat, right?
Yeah.
We have two galgos, actually, along the making of this film. We found our as you said, two members of our family,
totally.
Right? So the galgo is being known now a bit more as
Good.
A pet.
Good. Well, I mean, I looked at your website and the photographs of them. They're beautiful dogs. I was not expecting this. I was expecting some kind of almost a much beefier dog and something much more solid. You know, I wasn't expecting this like ballerina of the dog world, really. I mean, they're gorgeous, you know, and greyhounds, I love the breed. I think they're wonderful, wonderful dogs, and they are. They're super funny, and they're super smart,
mm-hmm.
and I was expecting more of some really scary-looking dog, you know, that everyone would be afraid of if it was coming around, not something that's oh, hi, you know, and that breaks my heart, too, because they're such good dogs.
They're very loyal, and they're very curious, also. They're always looking they're human, to see what they are doing, right?
Mm.
They are very independent as well sometimes.
Wow.
And, how should I put it? I mean, they're very dignified, you know.
Yeah, they are.
They are not the kind of dog that would be playing tricks to you all
yeah.
the time, you know. They would look at you like, hey, you have thrown the ball three times. I already... You know, give it back. just make up your mind. Something like that. So they're
totally.
Very kind of independent in that sense, but they're wonderful pets.
That's good to know, too, because that was a thing, too. When I started researching this, when I just heard the word galgo and it was a hunting dog and this problem, it was, I was expecting this monster-looking, terrifying dog. But, I mean, galgos look like they should be having tea with the queen. I mean, they're so elegant and so dignified and so sophisticated that it was, you know, the more I'm learning about this story, the more I'm just like, anything I can do to help you, I will do, because it's really, I mean, truly from the bottom of my heart, I'm so stunned by these numbers and by this whole topic, and horrified, honestly, that I've been doing this show now for years and I'd never even heard what galgo was,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that the U.S. just doesn't know anything about this. And I'm really, truly honored that you contacted me to help you get the word out, because this is a really, really important story, and I'm behind you guys 100% with this.
Thank you.
So... do most hunters, they'll get, I'm assuming, please tell me if I'm wrong, hunting season starts, they need a dog, they go get a galgo. So then hunting season lasts how long?
Well, the hunting season is from, it started yesterday, actually, and it will last until February.
Oh, my God.
But they started breeding galgos before,
okay.
and they started testing galgos before,
yeah.
right? So presenting, I mean, you have to think that... the galgo is used for hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Spain is the only country in Europe who allows hunting with dogs in the open fields, right? And
wow.
that goes on during this month, mm-hmm. I told. But selecting the galgo is something that takes the whole year, right?
Right.
So it's not like the way in which you compete with greyhounds here in a dog track.
Yeah.
It's out there in the open. It's cultural. It relates with the life in the village, and you can feel it when you go to these places. You see it in the bar, people talking about hunting. You see it in the supermarket. So it is something that's in the air.
Yeah.
So, it's a bit more complex than just going to see a race.
And so let's say, I don't know, Juan gets this, like, amazing galgo, like one of the greatest galgos that everyone has ever seen. Is this also, like, a status thing for him? And are they expensive dogs? Like, are the good ones really expensive?
They can be very expensive, mm-hmm. Yeah. It has to do with status,
yeah.
And it has to do with ego. Mm-hmm. I've been working on this film for 3 years, and
wow.
I think one of the things that helped me get into this world, mm-hmm. was, on one hand, my galgo, which is also the protagonist of the film and the one who helped me get, you know, in and connect all the stories. And the other thing was the way in which pride plays, mm-hmm. here, right? Breeders really like to talk about what they have conquered. And for them, creating a galgo that's a winner, creating a champion, means not only status, means that their name might be in history for the next years, right?
Okay.
Because if you win, your name is going to be there.
Yeah.
So it is a kind of a god complex, I think,
because
breeders are very secretive with the way they feed them, with the way they mix them. I mean, that's also why a lot of people in Spain don't know much about this, because they keep the secrets to themselves.
Wow. And so, like, what is the prime hunting age for a galgo?
If you're a female, females start earlier.
Okay.
You can be presented to competition when you are 16 months old.
Oh, my God.
Some of them a bit earlier.
Okay.
When you're a male, that happens around 2-3 years. In order to present your galgo to competition, you have to pay 1,800 euros. So not everybody can present their dog to, mm-hmm. the nationals. On one hand, we have, like, hunters.
Mm-hmm.
They only want to hunt,
yeah.
as a hobby, right? And on the other hand, you have, like, the national competition, which is much more. It is harder for the dog because they are like athletes,
yeah.
and that's like the best of the best. So you have like these 500,000 ducks, 500,000 galgos hunting in Spain, and from these 500,000, maybe only 10,000 galgos go to competition, right?
Wow.
So everybody wants to be there, but not everybody can pay it. And it is a very, very hard, you know, it's a very hard world for the dog. So if you are lucky and you win, then they're going to breed from you.
Right.
So your future is not going to be bright either. So there's a lot of drama involved in all this, right? So my goal was to understand why people do this.
Yeah.
I mean, why do you start doing this? And probably your dad did it and your grandpa did it also.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Because, it is the way deep Spain works sometimes.
Yeah.
It's been always like that. You had the dog, you had this tool, and when the dog doesn't meet your expectations, you get rid of it.
Yeah.
And now it's quite easy to get rid of your dog.
Mm.
I mean, you abandon it, you kill it, or you give it to the shelters. Mm. So you externalize also the costs of your activity.
Yeah.
So you have to think about all the money that hunting moves in Spain, but all the money also that civil society is putting into solving the secondary consequences of your hunting activity, right?
Yeah.
So now I think it's a time to talk about this, because this is an old story, and we haven't been brave enough to talk about it.
Yeah.
For instance, the cultural ministry in Spain funds the galgo. So it is considered culture as bullfighting and other traditions. So I think we need to readdress the way in which we see animals in Spain. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of festivities in Spain that involve animals.
Yeah.
And we need to readdress this. And if Spain wants to be a part of the international community, we need to play by the rules. Spain is the last country in Europe that does this.
That's wild.
Okay, so that's why we're here, because we need help. We need help not only to raise awareness. We need help to pressure our politicians to legislate better.
Yeah.
And to protect our animals.
I mean, it blows my mind because I spent 2 summers in Spain when I was a child, and I lived on a farm, and there was no hunting where I was. Like, I had no idea that Spain was such a hunting state until we discussed this, you know, 15 minutes before this interview. It's like, I mean, I was up in the mountains and all of that, and I mean, I was a little kid, so needless to say, but I spent a lot of time riding and going on trails by myself, and I never saw a hunter. So I had no idea that hunting was even really a sport there, except for the little tiny birds. Those I remember.
But you were up north in the country, and the galgo is used in flatlands because the hare is there. So in the north, you're not going to find galgos. But in the south, go every morning. Go out there. Take the car. I mean, it's amazing. I've been out there in the field, and in a Sunday morning, I could have, I found like, I don't know, 20, 15 hunters, each one with, I don't know, 2-3 dogs, some of them with 20. This film has meant for us. We lived in Copenhagen. We lived in Denmark. So the plot is that my galga, Bacalao, comes back to Spain looking for her brothers. Oh. And that was the first question we posted. What could have happened to Bacalao if she wasn't with us, right?
Wow.
So I kept on going back because she was the only female, and I wanted to find her brothers.
Yeah.
And in the way, we found so much more. But for me, it meant that I also came back to Spain, and I came back to a Spain that I didn't know.
Wow.
I didn't know, but it was there around the corner, and it has always been there. It is a bit more rural, and it is a bit, you know, like, it is crystallized in time. It is a trip in time, this film also. It is hard, but it is beautiful, because being out there with your dogs is amazing.
Yeah.
So I also got surprised.
Oh, this is crazy. Well, we have to take a quick break for a commercial, but we are coming back immediately to continue this conversation. I am with Yurei Lopez Portillo. We're talking about his film, Yo Galgo. We'll be back in a minute and a half.
Music for this commercial break is brought to you by RecTech, and this track is called Field Trip World.
Hello out there, it's Steve Jenkins. I'm with Fairway Markets. White Leghorn, Red Wattle, Bourbon Red, Navajo Churro. Well, these aren't names you're likely to hear at a Fairway butcher counter or any other counter today, but before the rise of factory farming, you would have. And at Heritage Foods USA, you still do. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. You see, we believe the best way to help a family farmer is to buy from them. And Heritage Foods is honored to represent a network of family farmers and artisanal producers whose work presents an immeasurable gift to our food system and to biodiversity. The meat we celebrate, whether it's heritage turkey, Japanese steaks, Berkshire pork, or Navajo churro lamb chops, is the righteous kind from healthy animals of sound genetics that have been treated humanely and allowed to pursue their natural instincts. It's a simple fact. Animals raised according to this philosophy taste better. And as we like to say, you have to eat them to save them. Visit us at heritagefoodsusa.com for more information.
And we're back, and I'm talking to Yurei Lopez Portillo all about the breed Galgo from Spain. I just want to keep this going on for a couple of hours. I'm so fascinated by this. So we kind of talked about it quickly earlier, but I want to talk more about what tradition has to do with this.
Yeah, that is a good question. Well, I think the Galgo world has inherited a lot from a time, I think a dark time in Spain. When Franco was alive, we had a dictator that was a hunter also, and he changed the whole country to serve his purposes, right?
Yeah.
So in the countryside, you find, of course, the police, you find little villages, you find the mayor, you find the priest, and you find certain power structures that allow certain things to happen and not be talked about or not be seen. I remember one day I was shooting and we got this phone call and there was this guy, because sometimes galgos are trained tied to a car, the back part of the car, and sometimes the rope, you know, gets entangled and the dog falls.
Yeah.
So we had a witness who took pictures of this man, and this man didn't notice that the galgo fell.
Oh my God.
And drove through the whole village with the galgo. So we had like a witness, we had pictures, we had a testimony, and when we got there, the police didn't file the report.
Really?
So there are certain, and the last word was being uttered by the mayor. And the mayor was a very close friend of this hunter.
Oh, great.
So that's what I'm afraid.
Yeah.
That these structures, these power structures remain there.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal is to talk about them.
Yeah.
But from all angles. I'm not telling one side of the story.
Yeah.
I have lived with hunters, okay? Mm-hmm. I have spent months with hunters. Mm-hmm. I have been following them. And I think I know both sides, right? But it is very difficult to be neutral when you see these things. So what does it to do with tradition? It is habit. It is old habits, bad habits that are just there, you know? Because there aren't that many hunters, actually. It is 1.5% of the population
who
hunt.
How is that even possible? That's crazy. So you've got, 1.5% of all of Spain that are hunters, and you've got like 500,000 dogs?
Yeah.
This is like...
More than that, probably.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, more than that. It is 2.4 million hunting dogs. There are various ways in which you can hunt.
Yeah.
If you hunt mayor game, you're going to need a reala.
Okay.
A reala is a group of dogs, maybe from 20 to 30, who go after the deer or the wild boar. And many of them won't come back. So it is this kind of constant replacement of the dogs. But these kind of dogs are a little bit more under control.
Mm-hmm.
But with the galgo... The galgo, I mean, nobody knows. It's been so difficult to get closer to the real numbers for us. We've been 3 years going into archives, going into shelters. I have written all shelters in Spain, asking them 10 questions. And it's very difficult to get to the reality, right?
I bet.
And Spain is a big, big place.
Yeah.
And if you find a galgo with a chip, that galgo won't go into the statistics.
Really?
If you find one galgo hit by a car, that dog won't go to the statistics. So there is this impossibility for us to know the real problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think we as a society should be a little bit ashamed, because this thing has been going on for too long.
It's amazing.
And we haven't addressed it. I mean, it took me some time and some courage to be out there, but I wanted to influence policy making here. I wanted to help, and I thought, okay, should I volunteer in a shelter?
Mm.
Well, I'm a graphic designer, a filmmaker, or should I make a film?
Yeah.
And I think filmmaking has a lot to do with transparency.
Yeah.
I mean, if you make culture. Culture has always been looking at governments and, you know, has always been critic.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do that.
Yeah.
I wanted to do something global. I wanted to do like a film that would work internationally. So the image of Spain from outside would be a little bit like, hey, guys, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think we as a society should think, hey, guys, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I mean, We are a majority. In Spain, there's a majority of the civil society that doesn't want this.
Yeah.
But it deals with money, it deals with how you use the land, who owns the land. So this is more complex than
seriously
just a dog. And for me, the dog was an excuse. The galgo was a kind of a vessel to talk about different issues, to talk about the life in the villages, the fear, the silence, you know, all these kind of energies that move around and that nobody wants to talk about. So it is a bit more complex than just talking about a dog.
Yeah.
It is talking about us and how we treat each other. Because I've seen women that have been collecting dogs, galgos, from the street that have been threatened, that have had that their dogs were killed. I mean, I've seen pretty awful things during the film. Hey, guys, the film is not going to be that bad, okay? Just watch the film. But yeah, I'm going to make it as beautiful as I can.
Yeah.
But it is a story that talks about us.
It's really, it's so interesting to me, especially because, you know, when you think of Spain and animals or any kind of like animal abuse, bullfighting is number one. And so, you know, in America, we've caught on to this probably, I don't know, 10 years ago. So it's like bullfights are bad and bullfights are mean and all this, which I agree. I mean, when I lived in Spain, I was a child, and what they would do in the festivals is they'd take a bull calf and basically tie a rope around his neck and do, like, the running of the bulls in Pamplona, but for little kids in the streets. And, I mean, we all got run down, and it was, you know, quote-unquote super fun. I was in a tree most of the time. I was like, I'm not getting involved in this. And, you know, everyone's like, yay, this is so fun. And looking back on it now, what I remember the fear out of the bull calves because they were just terrified. I mean, there's all these people screaming and it's mayhem and running down the street and it's slippery and they're falling down and, you know, and the kids are freaking out and they're running up to kids and it's, you know, how fun for the kids. And, you know, why does this happen? Because it's tradition. You know, and it's like, well, you got to warm the kids up so they get killed in Pamplona by, you know, the giant bulls. And it's like, how is this even cool? You know, it's like, but it's tradition. This is what we do. And I mean, I'm part Spanish, so I don't want to sit here and be like slamming Spain. But it's like, you know, there's a lot of traditions all over the world. We got some in this country, too, that are doozies. And it's like, just because it's gone on for a long time doesn't necessarily make it right. But there's always so much pushback that I really, really admire you for having the guts to go ahead and even talk about this, let alone get this
Thank
out
you.
There.
I didn't know what I was doing, actually. I wanted to make something actually much, much softer.
Yeah.
But when I got my galgo, and then my second galgo, Tatiki, was thrown to the trash.
Oh,
7 weeks old.
Oh my God.
Because her legs were a little bit bended inwards, and it was malnutrition. But now she's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So once I got my dogs, I couldn't but do it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't but do it.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I mean, there are very many traditions with a lot of violence involved.
Yeah.
That are defended by our governments. That I don't really understand.
Yeah.
I mean, it creates this violent atmosphere. In some of the villages I've been shooting, there's this kind of energy that I didn't really grasp. It was in the air. I mean, you know, early morning, everybody was getting their guns and their dogs going out there looking for blood. So for me, it was like, wow. I was very curious.
Yeah.
And I think during the first 2 years of work, I was kind of driven by curiosity. But then I was like, wow, guys, I mean, don't you see this?
Yeah.
Actually, it's been proven. I mean, if you act this violently with your animals, probably you will also act violently with people. And this has been studied. I mean, 80% of men who hit their animals also hit their wives.
Oh, my God.
So if you get rid of this, probably we treat each other better, right?
Yeah.
Because you're used to, you know, I think there's a lot of psychopathy, you know, in the hunting world.
A lot of
people start, you know, kind of using animals in order to kind of please their appetites.
Totally.
So I think if you get that out from the equation, maybe people start respecting each other a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all for get violence out.
Have you felt at any time that you haven't been safe or that you've been in danger because of this project?
Yeah,
sorry.
No, it's okay. But when you're with the camera, you don't really think about it. Sometimes I was like, not in danger, but I was emotionally devastated. Mm. I was about to quit the project, and then we made like a crowdfunding campaign. And we got so much help from all over the world. Awesome. That's why we continue.
Yeah.
And we keep on traveling and raising awareness and looking for funds to finish the film, right? And we opened, you know, this channel because there's so much information we found in our research that doesn't fit into the film. But it is important that we want to publish. So we're going to make like a whole channel.
Good.
Not only for the Galgo. Well, it would be about the Galgo, but later on will be about other dogs and other animals in need.
Nice.
We also have a fashion brand who's helping fund the film.
Awesome.
So we are trying to make this in a holistic way, right? Mm-hmm. We are a community working together creating this film because we think it's needed, right?
Yeah.
So was I in danger? I don't know. Mm-hmm. When I'm with a camera, I don't think about it. But emotionally, I was like, wow. Wow, I cried a lot. But I was thinking the project is more important than my mood today. Mm-hmm, so I kept on going. But it was the people when we started the crowdfunding campaign who actually took the project much, much further. And that's why we're here.
God, that's great.
And the fact that we are here means a lot to the project and to us and to a lot of Spaniards are back there thinking, oh, finally somebody, you know, thinks that this story matters.
Good. Because, yeah, that's the thing, too. I mean, that's what happens with tradition, too, is it's always like, shut up. This is how we've always done it. Go away. And you're like, okay. And there's not even dialogue. You know, it's just like, this is how we do it.
Yeah, but no, it's, like, it's okay. Good to have an opinion.
I mean,
it's good that Americans have an opinion about what's going on in Spain with the Galgo. I mean, these are beings. These are earthlings. We all share these. Why shouldn't they have an opinion about this?
I mean, they've finally passed laws. It's not national yet, but in some states. And, of course, I'm not going to remember at this moment because why would I? But there's a country, it might be Denmark, actually. I think it's one of those where they've listed animals now as sentient beings. So that they do have the rights for abuse. And, I mean, we do have some abuse laws in the States. They're getting better.
Hmm.
But they're still,
Of course. I mean, time moves on.
Yeah.
And, for instance, in Spain, back in the days when you heard your neighbor hitting the wife, you would not call the police. It was normal, you know, to do some things. And now it's you should do it.
Good.
You do it every time. But you should do it also when people hit their dogs.
Yeah.
Now we don't do it. Why is that? I mean, sometimes you do it and police don't come. I mean, it's hard, but we need to keep on pressing this. I mean, you need to say, hey, this is wrong. Mm-hmm. This is wrong.
And I agree with you 100% that, you know, if you're being violent towards an animal, you're going to be violent towards a human. And so just reducing the that's okay factor and making people more conscious of their actions is only going to help the situation. You know, it's like they don't need that constant fear running through everybody and that you know, could get violent at any second. And that's interesting, too, because when I was in Spain, it was when Franco was still around. And I was in the Basque country, which was not a popular place to be at that time because he didn't like Basque people. That's a whole other show. And there was that level of fear. Mm-hmm. Especially during the small festivals and the Basque festivals, there was, you know, the police would come in with sirens and in riot gear and just kind of run into the center of town and just flip everybody out. And I was in a town of like, oh, I don't know, maybe 500 people. This was not a big area. But just that aggression and the terror, really, that they would spread, you know, and it makes so much more sense now, too, with Franco doing this because that's what he wanted to do, because that's kind of what he was doing. I mean, this is the opinions of when I was 10, so, you know, I'm sure this is wrong on many levels, but what I was seeing and what I've understood in a horribly, horribly tight, tiny little nutshell was kind of what Franco wanted, Franco got. And it's kind of has really, a lot of the consciousness has been very tough to change, especially with people that were in their 20s and 30s at that time, now that they're older, because they were so engrossed in it, that to try to switch that mind, that's the hard part. Mm-hmm. You know, the young people are so much more open and understanding, and it's just, and the tradition is with the older people, you know, so you've got this older generation that's got the power, that believes a certain way, and so trying to get them to rethink, that's, I mean, if you can do that, that's miraculous.
Yeah, well, I think the younger generations are less and less. They hunt less and less by the time. And I think the hunters are getting organized now because they want to defend what they've been having so far.
Wow.
And you can feel the struggle right now. I think we are living very interesting times right now in Spain because both sides are fighting their stand.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested in seeing what's coming.
I think next
year is going to be very, very interesting. We hope to be over with the film and to have it out there by the end of February, which is the end of the next hunting season. Well,
wow.
This hunting season, because I think it's a very, very important moment to talk about this, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what the future generations will do, but I have the feeling that this is going to be much, much more controlled.
God, I hope you're right. I really do. I mean, before, we still got about 9 minutes, but before we get to that, I just want to cover this stuff before this. So are you guys still taking donations for the film?
We want to make the film as big as possible.
Okay.
And yes, we are looking for help also. You can go to yogagoproductions.com.
Okay.
And there you can find also more things and articles and research about what is a galgo,
cool. How
the galgos have been portrayed in art history, and a lot of other things in literature and a lot of other things.
So, these dogs are so old that they're like in old paintings and things, I would assume.
Yeah, they're in cave paintings.
I mean, this is crazy.
They were gods in the old Egypt. They've been by the side of kings and queens through the times. But now they have lost their value.
Unreal.
I mean, a lot of people, you could not have a galgo before if you didn't own land in
Spain.
Only kings and noblemen were allowed to have them. But now things have changed quite a lot for this dog.
Interesting. And that could be part of it too, is that level of status with this dog. You know, and the hunter's like, well, yes, I'm a fancy hunter or whatever because I have these royal dogs. And that's amazing to me, too, because you would think that if these dogs have so much panache that people would really go out of their way to take care of them.
Yeah. 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 Well, continuing with what you said before.
Please.
If you guys are interested in learning more about the film, it's called Yo Galgo. And you can find us on Instagram, you can find us on Twitter, and you can find us on yogagoproduction.com.
And on Facebook.
And on Facebook as well.
I found you guys there.
Exactly. And yeah, this is people wanted to do this.
And I mean, this is something that, if you're a dog lover, it's really, this is a topic, and the dogs are beautiful. I mean, take a look at them, because it was a really good story. And then when I saw the photograph of Yuri's dog, it killed me. And I was like, oh my God, they're beautiful. And then it was like, and I hate to say that, because I don't want to say, if it was some really scary, monster, ugly dog, I'd be like, well, it's not that bad. But it'd be horrible every way. But then seeing what these animals look like was to me like, oh my God, how can people abuse these dogs? You know, but it's kind of, I mean, and that's a horrible thing to say. I mean, you know, it's like, if it's beautiful, don't hurt it. No, nothing should be hurt. But I really was not expecting an animal as elegant and as dignified as what a galgo is, you know, and to see it like that and then to understand the level of abuse and stuff, it's so counterintuitive to me. But, you know, then you go back to it's tradition. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think that's one of your biggest steps is educating people and teaching them that this tradition ain't great.
Yeah, definitely. Education is a big, big part of this.
It really is.
And yeah, I think once you know a galgo, I'm in love with animals in general, right? Everything I do relates with protecting them and so on. And I have always had dogs, but when I met the galgo, wow! I was like, this is my dog. They're funny, they're gentle. You can go out and run with them. I mean, they're very nice.
It's like I have done these shows, and I have we talk about all these groovy animals and great stuff, and like, we've talked about a million different kinds of dogs, and this is the one where I'm like, ooh, I think I want one. And it's like, no. It's like, I'm going to just move out of Brooklyn and just get some land and get a bunch of galgos, and it's going to be awesome. And it's like, okay, we need to stop with this fantasy right now. But yeah, they're really great dogs, and they're very sweet. And that blows my mind, too, that they're hunting dogs.
They are hunting does, yes. And you need to re-educate them mm-hmm. if they've been hunting for too long. Mm-hmm. Some of them have or might have problems with cats. But I've seen galgos rehabilitating themselves from the most horrible things. So they're very strong.
Nice.
They have a very strong psychology also. So I mean, and they are... I've seen more than 200 galgos together in a shelter,
and
they don't fight.
You're kidding.
They won't hurt each other. And you cannot say the same about every other dog.
You really can't.
They're very gentle, right? And apart from pressuring our government, changing policy, adoption is also a way in which people see them in town.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, there are from 50,000 to 100,000 galgos abandoned every year.
My God.
Or killed or worse,
oh
right?
Oh, my God.
So now the galgos are getting to the urban areas,
yeah.
and you see them. And now, you know, there are more and more people saying, hey, guy, you know, this is an amazing creature.
Good. Wow. So what is something that you want? I mean, we've had some... really good discussions, but what is something that we haven't covered that you want people to know about this whole situation and these dogs?
I don't know what to say. I don't know.
How did you get involved in this in the first place? Did you just see one and fall in love, or?
I always liked them. When I was a child, I could see a galgo. Few galgos were around back then,
mm.
and they were always afraid, and they were always adults. You could not see a puppy because they were, of course, adopted.
Yeah, yeah.
So they came with this mystery. And my film is also about myth. I mean, it is the hero's journey, after all.
Cool.
My hero is my dog coming back to find what could have happened to her, right? That's the narrative excuse,
I
let's
love
say,
that.
Right? So for me, they always came with a mystery. And when I came back home, I was like, I want to solve this mystery.
Thank you so much for caring and for what you are doing and your team and your crew, because this sounds like... it just sounds like it has been one hell of an uphill battle the entire way, and this is a story that really needs to be put out there, and I'm truly honored to have you in the studio today. I mean, really, thank you so much for sharing this story with me and entrusting me with it, because I really, you know, it's part because I'm Spanish, it's part because of this, but I really do feel like I feel very honored to share this information, and I feel that knowing this information is actually quite a tremendous responsibility. And so, I mean, like I said it before, truly, if there is anything that my fans or I can do to help you guys, please let us know.
Thank you so much.
And, you know, for people that are listening, check out the Twitter page. It's at YoGalgo. It's YoGalgo. It's also that on Facebook. Also that on Instagram. The photographs on Instagram, oh, my God, you'll fall in love. I mean, these dogs are just, they're amazing. Like all their pages, follow them. There's a lot of information on it. There's a lot of constant updates. These guys are good. They're way better than me. I'll tell you that. They work really, really hard to get this information out. And anything that we can do to help them and just spread this would be really, really good for all of us. And it's definitely something we can all do to add a little more peace into this world and a little more understanding and just a little more empathy towards our animal families, because that's important too. So, you're right. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
really, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so, so, so much. I really, I know I'm gushing, but I really am honored. I'm just like, ah!
We're so lucky we're here. Seriously. I mean, it's amazing. It's been a journey, and there's a lot to do, and we are editing right now.
Great.
And we are collaborating with people. We are collaborating with artists. We are creating clothing, and everything goes to the project, this project and other project, because culture creation warranties transparency. This
totally.
Is all we do. I mean, human development through creative exchange. So I think the journey is going to continue, and I hope we get there together.
I hope so, too. And let me know if you'd like to put it on the Facebook page for Animal Instinct. Let us know the clothing line. We got a lot of people like a lot of clothes here.
Passingpanda.com.
Let's do it. Okay, you guys got it. So I'm going to write that down later. It'll be on the page probably tomorrow. I have plans this evening. But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Ray, and your team. You guys, the dedication here, it's really just made me feel all warm and fuzzy today. I needed this very badly. Next week, I will be back. Not positive if I have a new interview yet or if it'll be a repeat. But whatever it is, I promise it'll at least be entertaining. So thanks for listening, and I will talk to you guys next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.